Welcome to Real Deal Recovery, where the focus is topic-based and centered on physical and emotional recovery from drugs and alcohol or any other self-destructive behavior. Here's your host, Stephen Gerard.
Welcome to Real Deal Recovery. Thanks for joining us today. Today we have Josh joining us from Texas, and our topic for this podcast is acceptance. We're going to be discussing, of course, the famous quote from page 449. And when I was in my early recovery, I used to call up my sponsor, ranting so often that he would always say, "Could you please read page 449? This is what it says on page 449 of the Big Book. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life, unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it's supposed to be at this moment." We're going to be discussing this quote and other things with Josh. Josh, welcome to Real Deal Recovery.
Hello.
Before we get to our topic, could you take us through your last 2 years of drinking and your first 2+ years of recovery?
Absolutely. Hey, I'm Josh. I'm an alcoholic. I started drinking a little bit around the age of 14 or so. And before that, it was just kind of like a rambunctious childhood, which I later found out may or may not have anything to do with alcoholism or drug addiction. Around the age of 14, I think it was like 4th of July on the weekend. And, I had my first drink and in fact got drunk that night, and it was awesome. You know, it was a lot of fun. And it continued to be a lot of fun for quite some time until it stopped being fun. Throughout high school, it was just drinking whenever I could. Toward the end of high school, it ventured into it being, my partying or whatever you'd like to call it, being, becoming more drug use, weed, partying, party drugs, really whatever I could get my hands on. I don't know when I crossed that line that liquor ceased to be a luxury, right? But I know that I didn't want to live life without it, so I certainly didn't try to for years. I'm getting out of high school, I'm supposed to be going to college and doing all that, right? Had a lot of opportunity, but instead decided to start abusing painkillers, Oxycontin and whatever else, which I know is a real big deal for a lot of people, and there's a lot of people losing their lives over it. After pills and all that, I quickly found the needle, and I shot up heroin for several years, along with drinking heavily. And then that was just brought on a whole nother lifestyle that I never thought that I would encounter, never dreamed, you know, would happen to me, as I'm sure a lot of us go through. I ended up just finding myself in such a dark, deep hole that I continued to ask for help, so I thought, or be forced into various rehabs and therapeutic environments. It didn't seem to work over and over again. I would go to rehab and I would hear about, you know, this is what it means to be addicted physically to heroin or alcohol or whatever. And I would think, okay, well, I don't want that to happen. So I just need to not start drinking. I need to not start using. And so I would leave these places or all of a sudden get this idea that I was going to stop for good and for all. And I would just try that based on the knowledge that I had gained. And relapse prevention, trigger, avoiding triggers, all that stuff, I heard, and it sounded good at the time, but it just continued to fail me until the time came that I was told the 12 steps might help me, right? And so I come in, I get a sponsor, and I work the steps in order because it was the last thing that I had yet to try, right? And it's worked for the last 2.5 years since July 12th, 2014. What that has looked like, you know, the first year it was back and forth. I don't want to relapse, but I can't imagine living anymore because of how miserable I was, right? And so I'm getting through the work, and I'm looking at myself, and I'm trying to establish a relationship with a power greater than myself, which I believe I did, and have continued to stay sober because of that, right? And then year two, I find out what the real problem has been the whole time, while other men and women in AA have been telling me. But then I really got to experience it for myself, right? Like my selfishness, my self-centeredness, me, right? My character defects, that is the root of my troubles. And so I just continue to learn lessons through sponsoring other men, through going out to treatment centers and hospitals and wherever else to try and carry the message, to continuing to maintain contact with my higher power through prayer and meditation and service for others and all that. And, you know, it's a life I never thought I would be deserving to have after the things I've done and all that. So I'm very grateful and God willing, we'll get to enjoy many more years of doing His work.
I'd like to go back to your timeline a bit, Josh.
Okay.
From the time that you started, how old were you when you started taking the Oxycontin and then before it progressed into shooting heroin? But what age did you start abusing the Oxycontin and the heroin?
So right around 18, I found Oxycontin. I was probably doing that all day, every day for about a year, maybe a year and a half before I found heroin. And then that's been up until the age of 22 when I got sober. And so, well, I guess, you know, my using and drinking, you know, didn't last nearly as long as many people's experience, but I just was on a very fast downward spiral into a very dark place.
Were there any specific events or unmanageability that led you to get into, to try the treatments?
Yes. So I have a horrible habit of overdosing, right? And it's not so much the overdosing that I was afraid of. It was more so the sobering experience of waking up surrounded by family, or waking up and them not answering the phone, and just realizing the guilt and the shame and remorse that come with that. A lot of that led to, I need to stop this. I need to get help.
You know, the topic for this podcast is acceptance, and it sounds like you did get some knowledge when you were in treatment. Why do you think you had trouble accepting that you were a drug addict and alcoholic when you were in the treatment, or did you?
If you would have asked me then, I would have said I have no trouble accepting the definition or the illustration that has been presented to me, right? Which is not to point a finger in any direction, but just to say that I was probably not ready to hear the truth about alcoholism, which I would have been able to find, you know, in the big book or through the guys and the women and that were coming out to the treatment center and saying, get a sponsor, work the steps, come on, like join us, right? I didn't listen to them. Like, I just chose to, well, maybe unknowingly, you know, run with the idea that was presented in like a medical textbook, right? Like, these are this is your mind on drugs, right? And I didn't want to recreate that. So at the time, I accepted that, but I failed to accept that I was spiritually sick, right? I failed to accept that I was selfish, and that I was going to have to take action.
So it sounded like you were wrestling with accepting the fact that you were going to need to get into action. When you did hit your bottom and you finally took that first step, what did you do as far as getting into action?
Well, an act of providence occurred. Like I said, it's rarely been about the physical consequences. For me, it's more about just, honestly, like an intervention in my life by a power that I've only recently come to recognize. And so what it looked like was, strung out on dope, run out of money, run out of dope, and it was my birthday. And I'm sick and I'm trying to drive and I've been up for several days now on cocaine and speedballs and I wreck my truck, right? I thought nothing of the truck, but I thought, this is never going to end, right? And the drugs had stopped working and stopped making me feel numb or any sort of better. And I thought, this is absolutely never going to end. And so I reached out to my parents, who put me back in a treatment center, right? And from there, again, get a sponsor, right? You've yet to try that. Why don't you try it this time? Okay, I will. And then it all went from there.
You know, our stories are very similar, with the exception I only went to one treatment center, and that I got clean and sober at 22, and it was the drugs that accelerated my bottom. I'm going to read something to you that my sponsor had me read all the time when I was 22 from the Big Book. Uh-huh. When I'm disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly as the way it's supposed to be at this moment. What does this statement mean to you?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, it's quite a powerful statement. Well, okay. So in reading about step two out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, we have a choice to make. God is either everything or else he is nothing, right? And faced with that choice initially, like, that sounds like a large pill to swallow. That's a horrible metaphor for what we're talking about. Anyways.
Go ahead.
So at the time, you know, I could barely comprehend that. But today and early on, like, it just had to be a trust, right? Like, though I cannot currently, you know, immediately in the moment accept that, like, this is part of a greater plan, right? Like, I can still, you know, incorporate prayer and meditation and self-examination based on my sponsor's direction into trying to find acceptance, because I now know, based on working a little bit further through the steps, that my discontent, right, my restlessness, my inability to accept life on life's terms is what's going to drive me back to drink and use, and to do that is to die.
It also goes on to say in this section of the Big Book, unless I can accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. What are you doing on a daily basis to try to accept life on life's terms?
I believe there's another little part of the book that talks about, you know, financial gain coming only after you know, we straighten out spiritually. I did not quote that correctly, but lately that's mainly the struggle, right? And trying to accept life on life's terms. You know, I am where I am because that's where God intends for me to be. And so every morning I try and wake up, spend some time with God as best I can, and ask him to show me his will. And then from there, throughout the day, try and be aware of his presence in my life and help in any way I can, everyone I can, because I believe that's what he would have me do. And then I'm able to find acceptance and happiness.
You know, I've always felt that my spiritual practice was kind of personal, but I'm going to go out on a limb here. And if you're not comfortable answering this question, rather, it's cool. But I'd like to ask you, what do you say you do some spiritual practice in the morning? What are you doing?
So when I wake up, I get the coffee started, right? And I read out of two books. One book I've been reading every day since I got sober every morning. It's called Daily Reflections. And then another one I just recently added, and that's Jesus Calling. Regardless of my religious views, it was just something to add in, right? And so I read these. They're little daily devotionals, and it kind of puts my mind in a mood where, you know, I'm on a spiritual mindset, right? And so I just sit quietly. 10 minutes minimum is the goal. Some days more, some days less, if I hit snooze a couple too many times. But anyways, I just try and make that time to try and be quiet and listen, right? And then I finish that up with a prayer along the same lines as the third step prayer, right? Like, relieve me of the bondage of self. Please show me your will and give me the power to carry that out. And then, you know, thank you for everything I have and make me a channel of your peace, whatever it may be.
I have one more question, Josh, before I let you go.
Okay.
How are you applying acceptance to the work environment?
Ooh.
Because that's one where I think so many people wrestle, myself included.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that and romance. But so let's talk about work. So I'm in sales, and so there's a big part of the way that my mind works, right? Like, judging people and making up my own delusional ideas. So like, let's say somebody walks in the store, right? And my ultimate goal should be, and what I believe to be the right, you know, mindset and approaching any work environment, especially mine, is like, how can I be of service to you, right? What are you looking for me that I can be helpful to you, right? But usually what ends up happening, well, I shouldn't say usually, oftentimes what ends up happening is I see the car you pull up in, or I see how you're dressed, or even like the slightest way that we interacted, I already make a decision that's like, you're not going to be beneficial for me financially, so, you know, whatever. And then, you know, hopefully if I'm connected or trying to follow closely to God's will, instead I will just accept, like, I am here to be of service, right? I'm here, no matter what my job description, no matter what my paycheck, I am in God's world to do His work. And so long as I do that, I can find happiness and contentment regardless of my present circumstances. And so that, let's say I'm struggling doing that on a work day, I'll pray, right? I'll pray. I'll try and find those quiet moments where I can take a couple deep breaths and get recentered and refocused on the task at hand, which is always God's will.
Josh, thank you so much for joining us today from Texas. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Stephen Gerard is available for sober coaching and consulting by visiting SoberCoachNYC.com, offering additional support, guidance, and motivation for people in all phases of recovery. Just visit SoberCoachNYC.com. That's SoberCoachNYC.com. To set up a complimentary life-changing discussion, make a decision to change your life.
Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. If you find this content of value, please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. This way, the pod will be delivered directly to you. If you'd like to suggest a topic or get a hold of me for any reason, please email me at realdealrecoverypodcast@gmail.com. That's realdealrecoverypodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Have a stellar week. And remember, recovery is not a spectator sport. Get in the ring.